5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkinSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. I have to deal with a pet peeve off the top of this episode, and I know I'm not alone in my hatred of this common cliche. When people say, it's not what you know, but who you know, it literally makes me want to throw up. To me, this is classic old school thinking that if you network and schmooze and have the brightest smile in the room, or you're related to somebody you're already in the industry, you're the one that'll get the jobs. I think this is crap. Back in the 90s, when I first broke into the sports industry, yes, that long ago, this saying was still kind of true. I worked with at least 10 to 15 people who were related to famous people in the industry. Former players' kids, sports columnist kids, sports executive kids. You know what? They all stunk at their job. They didn't last. They stunk and they flamed out. Their parents worked hard to get where they were and earned their success, but not the kids. Just knowing someone back then got them in the door, but they failed. All of us nobodies were the ones who worked hard, scrapped and clawed for everything we got, worked long hours and proved ourselves day in and day out. We survived, but more than that, we really thrived. Maybe I'm giving too much credit to employers, but I think at some point they began to openly question, why are we treating hiring as a favor? We need staff that can achieve. We need staff that will work. We need staff that has talent. Not just connection to somebody, we need somebody with skills. I saw this change take place firsthand. No longer were people being hired based on who they knew. They had to prove they could do the job or else. So again, this theory of who you know superseding what you know is complete and utter bunk shared endlessly by old school thinkers. The truth, as it is with most things, lies in the middle. The saying should be, learn the right skills and meet the right people and you'll find the formula for success. But that doesn't fit as nicely on someone's Seascape meme in an airy cursive print. I didn't know anyone coming out of college, and I was hired by CNN Sports. Why? Because I had the skills they needed. Every employer I talk to says they are looking for people with it. And when they say that, what they mean is the intersection of skills and passion. That is the formula. I can't deny that networking is important and getting to know people in the industry is invaluable. But unless you combine that with the right skill and experience, it just doesn't matter anymore. Just networking isn't enough. Just having a parent in the industry isn't enough. Just knowing a guy in the sales department at Team X isn't enough. You need all of it and skills. So to say it's not what you know, it's who you know, just makes me angry, because it is what you know and it is who you know. And in most cases, neither survives very long without the other. This week's guest, Evan Feinstein, Assistant Director of Marketing at Wake Forest University, knows this better than most. He was fearful he'd struggle to get a job in college athletics because he didn't have the contacts. But you know what he did have? Internship experience, passion, and a willingness to put in the work. I'll let him tell you the rest of his story. But first, registration is open for our Sports Career Accelerator two-day event. For just $398, you will experience a two-day immersive learning and networking event with the Atlanta Hawks, Braves, Falcons, United, College Football Hall of Fame, and more. Get behind-the-scenes access to team operations and facilities, learn from and ask questions of top executives from the major sports teams in the Atlanta area. We will submit a personal portfolio for you to all of the teams. This is the type of event that will give you the network to go with your skills, like what I was just talking about in my open, if you were paying attention. We are limiting this to the first 40 qualified people so we can keep this intimate and impactful. We don't want a cattle call crowding our way through these teams and with these executives. We want you to get real FaceTime with everyone. So register today. WorkinSports.com/Tremont/Atlanta. Tremont is our partners in this event. They are awesome. We are great partners together. So they are on the URL. It is WorkinSports.com/Tremont/Atlanta. You can spell that yourself. Or if you want to talk it over with our customer service, maybe you want a payment plan, or you have a question about the event, call us. 1-855-220-JOBS. My guy Randy will take care of you. And if you listen to all these podcasts, you know Randy. I've introduced you to before. You've met the guy. All right. Now, let's get to Evan Feinstein, Assistant Director of Marketing at Wake Forest University. Hey, Evan. How's it going today?
It's good. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Thanks for taking a little bit of time away from your job at Wake Forest. Wanted to talk a little bit more about your career, learn a little bit more about how you got to this point in your career. Let's start out a little bit by talking about focus and specialty. You've been in various collegiate athletic departments. You're working in marketing since graduating from Temple in 2015. Marketing is one of those really broad terms. It can mean so many different things. There's so many different techniques, and people have so many different specialties. What was your approach while you were in school? Did you focus in deep on a certain type of marketing, or did you get a broader understanding of marketing on many levels?
Well, first, I just want to thank you for having me on the podcast. Really appreciate it. Big fan. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you.
I'll say for your first question here that it was kind of on two fronts. So I think on an internship side of things, I kind of focused more on the grassroots approach to marketing, doing a lot of flyers that, for Temple University marketing department that we would spread around campus, whether it be a dorm, or just kind of flyering on campus. So kind of starting out on the grassroots marketing side, on the internship side. But then on a classes side, because I was a major in sport management, I had a concentration in promotion, so they kind of gave us a larger, broad approach to marketing, taking classes about sponsorship or, the digital side or just general sports marketing. So even to the sales side. So all of that kind of went on the classes side. So I definitely was able to get a full range, wide variety of the different approaches to marketing.
I like that dorm storm. I'm going to have to use that sometime. The alliteration works for sure, or the rhyming. So all of your experience to date has been in college athletics, including your internships while you were in college. Clearly, you have a pattern. What was the draw to the college side for you? Why did you make that career choice?
Yeah, sure. It is true. There is quite a pattern there. But, it's funny. It actually started my freshman year. I always tell this story when I'm talking to various people about how I kind of got involved in the industry. But I'll never forget the first Temple football game that I was at. We were playing Villanova, so kind of just like a city rivalry there. And it was the first college sporting event that I'd ever been to. And I kind of just took a second and kind of had that aha moment, like, wow, this atmosphere is really cool. Like, it's somebody's job to kind of create this. And that kind of led me to change my major at first, because at first when I went to Temple, I was a history major. Always loved sports, but kind of was going to do the stereotypical history teacher and sports coach in high school. But then kind of realized that there was, another side of sports from that, which led me to join the Cherry Crusade, which is the student support group for Temple Athletics. And they work hand in hand with the marketing department there to kind of just promote games and get students out to games and other things like that. So that's kind of where my love for college athletics began and kind of stuck with me throughout my college career and now into my professional career.
It's interesting. So many people have that singular experience that kind of changes their whole frame of reference. I had the same thing that happened to me. I've mentioned on the podcast before that I started out as a biology and chemistry double major. Like, that makes no sense whatsoever. But I was doing that my freshman year, and I met someone who was doing events at the Philadelphia Spectrum. This is old school now. But anyway, they were doing a boxing event, and they asked me if I wanted to come watch in the truck, from the truck. So in the production truck. And I went that night, and it was like a low-level boxing event. It meant nothing. But I was there, and I was watching the experience and the urgency and the so many things happening in the orchestration, and was like, oh my gosh, I need to be doing this. And that changed my whole perspective. And it sounds like that's what's happening to you. And I think that happens to a lot of people, is they get introduced to that moment and it changes things for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, it's one of those things that it just sticks, it has stuck in my head for so long. I know the memory like the back of my hand. It's one of those things that just like, that was the turning point in my career.
Yeah, for sure. So the first job is always the hardest to get. I tell people that all the time. You have a smaller network. You have all this competition for entry-level jobs. It can be hard to get that first opportunity. So take us through your experience. You graduate from Temple with a degree in sport and recreation management. You have internship experience, and then you hit the market looking for jobs. What was the process like, and what led you to your role at University of Maryland?
Sure. So I have to give kudos first to Temple University Sport Management Program, because they really set you up for success in your career. And I'm not sure the exact percentage, but I know they have a very high percentage of students getting jobs right out of college. And so kudos to them for having a great program. And part of that program is you have to do a senior internship, which is basically you're a full-time intern somewhere, but you're also a full-time student. So doing kind of monthly papers to keep up with and inform your advisor, like, exactly what you're doing. And I was fortunate to get one at Northeastern University in Boston, which is a smaller school in the CAA, which big time sport is hockey. Part of that internship, my title was marketing and, ticket operations intern, and being at a smaller school, similar to kind of working in minor league sports where, you know, you have a lot of hats. So not only was I doing marketing, I was pretty much in charge of all the group sales for every single sport that we were trying to sell tickets for. So both men's and women's hockey, as well as men's and women's basketball, trying to get as many groups there as possible was part of it. And I think that's kind of what really led me to the Maryland position, because group sales was something that was very, very big to them and important. So that kind of really helped me there. And then also just timing, to be honest with you. So a lot of times in collegiate marketing and just in general in college jobs, typically they're going to open towards the end of spring, leading into summer, just to kind of get people on board for the new school year. Well, somebody at Maryland had left, leading to a promotion for a marketing assistant there. And so it was a timing thing where it was right before the holidays. They kind of got the promotion, so the job was posted, and I found out that I had gotten it leading into the winter break time, so I could start new in January 1. So it was a time thing, and then also something that's really important, I think, for the listeners to know too, is a lot of people talk about how sales is so important and a great way to get your foot in the door, and it definitely was for me from the group sales side.
You know what? I was just going to mention that, because I had Chris Valente, who is the director of sales for Fenway Sports Management with the Boston Red Sox. And he said the line between sales and marketing is really blurred now, is that his job as director of sales is really a marketing job. And for you, it sounds like that's how you got some of your initial reps in, you know, your repetitions in, and then that led to marketing. Do you feel the same way, that like your job in marketing is connected very much to sales, and that if you're in sales, you're also very connected to marketing?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, every day, especially for me, I'm kind of in that intermediary, like middle position where, you know, a lot of the sports that I work with, and I think we'll get into this soon, but, a lot of the sports that I work with, you know, I am the salesperson for them as well, because our sales team at Wake only sells tickets for men's basketball and football. So all the other sports that we work with, you know, we're the group salesperson, we're the salesperson, we're the marketing person. And then we have like somebody that does video and another person that kind of oversees social for the individual sports. But, you know, we're pretty much holding all hats. And that's kind of, I've found common across a lot of schools. We are fortunate in Maryland that our sales team there did sell tickets to everything that we sell tickets for. So it wasn't all on us, but definitely a collaborative effort for sure.
Yeah, and when you talk to most people in marketing, they'll tell you that they are judged. I mean, their performance metrics are often tied to revenue. Like, are your efforts in marketing generating ticket sales? So those two things are, like, if I'm going to be judged on that, and that's how they're going to determine my success, you better believe I'm going to be involved in some of the sales process and paying attention to that stuff as well. So it's an important to have that both sides of things. So when you land at University of Maryland, you're at a Power 5 conference school as your first job, which is great. That's awesome. What was that initial role like, and what were the demands of your job?
Sure. So I think job one is kind of being a utility player and just you know, being a sponge and taking everything in, because like you said, you know, I was very fortunate to get a job at a Power 5 school. At a university that has numerous sports that are revenue generating and overall just a good department to work in. So I was very fortunate to get that position. So I think number one is utility player. And then specifically, I oversaw the marketing efforts for our field hockey team as well as our women's lacrosse team. And then I was also the number two person for women's basketball, or what I like to call kind of the field general. So basically what that means is we have a you know, the number one marketing person for the sport that calls the game from the scorer's table. And then my position would have been the person that oversees everything going on the court from an intern perspective. So making sure all the promotions run smoothly. And so the person from the scorer's table will kind of communicate with me to be like, okay, are we good to go for this promotion? Yes or no. And then kind of moving forward from there. And then the second half of being the number two, was in charge of, again, going back to the sales piece, was in charge of all, kind of group sales, in the sense that every time we would have a halftime, scrimmage or a birthday party or anything like that, I was kind of the contact person for those groups as well.
So you have a really crazy schedule is what it comes down to. And I think that's one of the things people need to appreciate, is that you're not going to be straight Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. You've got events at night. You've got events on weekends. How was that adjustment for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. I think it really started at Northeastern as my internship, because it was an unpaid position. And so I was very fortunate that my sister actually lived outside of Boston, so I was able to live with her. But one thing that I also learned at Maryland that my supervisor would always say is, the pay might not be ideal, but, you know, if you're passionate enough and you want to do this enough, you'll make it work somehow. And at Northeastern, I made it work somehow. My sister, was a manager of a title boxing up there. And so kind of working in sports is in the family a little bit. She was able to give me a job where I would open the gym with her, and we would have to get there at 4 or 5 in the morning, every day. So I would go to Title Boxing Club, get up at 4, go work until 10 a.m. And again, I was very fortunate as well to my boss at Northeastern allowed me to come in a little late. So I would work from there from about 10 until, 5, 5:30. And then if we had games, sometimes I would have to stay even later. So, those were very, very early on in my career, putting in the 10, 12, 15 hour days, that, it's a grind, but, it's one of those things that another thing I would say is there's a difference between liking sport and loving it. And, if you like sport, if you're someone that comes to us in an interview and says, I played sports all my life, like I love it. That's kind of how they come to the table, and there's no passion in their voice. You can kind of tell that those are the type of people that might burn out in this industry, because it is a grind. And like I said back to my supervisor, Maryland, if you do enjoy this enough, you'll make it work somehow. And I made it work there.
It's so true. I've told this story before, but when I first started my first job, one of the older people that had been there a long time, they said to me, "So you like sports?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, man." I was all excited, first day on the job kind of thing. And he's like, "Oh, well, you're going to hate them within a year." And I thought, man, what a terrible attitude, that you're going to get this grind out of you and it's going to chew you up and spit you out. But I never found that to be true. I still love it every single day. And I've had some of the craziest schedules you could ever imagine in my various jumps. I've had to move. I've had to go here, there. And I mean, I still have this crazy passion for it. And I think you're right that you have to identify that in the people that you hire. That's a really important important part of the sales job you probably have to do for yourself as well, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you go from a marketing assistant at University of Maryland to assistant director of marketing at Wake Forest in under a year and a half. Don't be humble. Be honest about it. That's a pretty big jump. Why do you think you made such a fast jump up the career ladder?
I think it was, I just was always hungry at the University of Maryland. I always wanted to learn more and do more. And, it's funny. So their marketing assistant position is typically a year. So as I said before, I was kind of lucky in the sense that the job was posted in January, because usually it is posted in the springtime. So that first 6 months, I really was kind of taking everything in and just learning, because as again, you mentioned it, it's a Power 5 school. It's not something I'm used to. It's roughly the same student body number as Temple, but completely different than Northeastern, in the sense that, it's not directly inside the city, and football is a sport there. So, yeah. Just everything in. And like I said, being hungry, it was a big thing, and just asking for more responsibility and to learn more and to do different things. And I was, again, just being very fortunate in the sense that they were willing to give me those things in Maryland. And then from there, building those relationships, I was able to get an interview here just from the head of our unit knew somebody that worked here and was able to get me my foot in the door. And then it was on me to kind of you know, do the interview well. But then the other side of it, I would say that relationships with coaches is something that's huge in the collegiate level. Because, you know, there's nothing that says more to a different staff as if, you know, on your references or you have a coaching staff that you work with give a call for you. Because if, you know, if you're able to build that relationship with a coaching staff and they think you do a killer job, then they'll be sure to let the coaching staff you'll be working with at the next school that you did a killer job for them. And, coaches' voices and coaches, in general, just hold a lot of weight when it comes to stuff like that. So if you're already on the good side of the coaches, then that's one kind of checkbox that's off the table for the rest of your marketing staff for you.
What an important thing to note is the importance of building the relationships, you know, and on multiple levels. But that relationship with your coaches makes so much sense to say, I'm here to help you. Like, I'm here to help you promote your team and get fans and get excitement and get energy. And if you do that right job and build that relationship with them, it totally makes sense that they would help you pay it forward in your next move. So you'd say your role then at Wake Forest, I mean, now you've got new responsibilities, pretty different than the role at Maryland, or how does that kind of line up now?
Yeah, I would say it's very different. So when I first got here, you know, there was a lot of pressure and to do well, because unfortunately the gentleman who hired me at Wake actually left 2 months into me being hired.
Ooh.
He got a job at South Carolina, which is his alma mater, and he was very excited and very happy for him there. So it was a lot of more responsibility being taken on because there wasn't somebody that oversaw football marketing. And I'm not going to say I took on football marketing because that's not the case, but I definitely, there was larger responsibility given on me right away, just in the sense that, you know, we had a shorter staff for leading into the first football game. The gentleman that started, he got his position, and I think less than 10 days into him being here, we had our first football game. So
Whoa. It
was kind of all hands on deck when I first got here. But just in general, more responsibility, larger sports that I'm overseeing. I kind of went from, as I mentioned, being a sponge and taking it all in to kind of putting all those things into action and, you know, utilizing everything that I learned at Maryland to kind of be the leader. And one of the sports I oversee here is women's basketball. So kind of going from that number two position to that number one role and utilizing everything I learned there from my supervisor when it came to women's basketball at Maryland to, you know, overseeing an ACC school women's basketball program was a large step. But like I said before, just kind of building those relationships as soon as I got here really helped. So utilizing that, my strength to, you know, start fresh and just build off of everything I learned.
That's such a challenge going from I am the person who listens and learns and then executes to the person that's in charge of actually making this stuff happen, making the decisions, making things, actually creating the plan and the strategy. I mean, that's a pretty hefty jump, especially when you're going, I mean, you didn't go from like a Big Five school as an assistant to then going down to, you know, some much smaller school where you could kind of make mistakes. You're like right into the pressure cooker right away. What would you say is the biggest challenge of marketing on a collegiate level, especially with the teams that deserve attention but don't have the same natural draw as something like football or basketball at a school like Wake Forest? How hard is it to get that voice out there?
I would say probably the biggest challenge might be time management. You know, it can be very tough at times. As you said, like it's not a football, it's not a men's basketball, so it makes it very challenging, because those sports are still time consuming for us, because at Wake Forest, we're all hands on deck for both football and men's basketball. So our entire staff's working pretty much all of those game days. And so just like making sure that you have everything done for the sports that you're working with prior to, you know, let's say that we have a soccer game on Sunday, but there's a football game on Saturday. I need to make sure that I'm good to go for Sunday. Well, early on into the week, because, you know, all Friday is a lot of football set up. So
right.
I need to make sure that, you know, from a time management and an organizational standpoint, I'm good to go for Sunday without even thinking about it.
Makes sense. You hear all the time about how social media and digital communication in general has kind of cluttered up the conversation. There's so much happening so fast all the time that people's attention spans have just overall completely diminished. In this environment, how hard is it for you to get your events and your athletes to stand out? From a marketing perspective, I would think it would be so hard to carve through the noise. How do you go about that?
Yeah, it is extremely hard. And sometimes it's just a crapshoot, trying different things and seeing kind of what sticks. It wasn't our idea when I was at Maryland. Like the students kind of just did it themselves. But when the Running Man Challenge went viral, there was nothing better for us because, you know, it kind of did it itself. So,
right.
I'm not saying it was not our idea. The students just kind of did it and it led to attention. You know, the guys got all the way to On the Ellen Show from it. So like, it's one of those things that you just keep trying different things and utilizing what you see other teams do and other schools do and kind of changing that for your fan base or changing that for your target market in order to kind of blow that specific thing up. And leaning heavily on other units to come up with different ideas or letting them come to you with things that they've seen other schools do to try and maximize some exposure for our team and student athletes.
So marketing has, in my estimation, over the last 5 to 10 years, grown. Like when you think of social and digital, you think of it being global reach, right? You can get to anybody, anywhere, at any time with some level of ease. But at the same time, data has helped things become even more granular. Like you can collect and access data on individuals at such an intimate level that you as a marketer can know the most likely people to react positively to your event, to buy tickets that are going to be like the right target market with so much ease. What do you think about that trend, that really ability to dig down so deep into marketing? Do you think it's overly intrusive or is it the future that people just need to get on board with?
To be honest with you, I do think it's a little intrusive, but at the same time, it's one of those things that's kind of where the industry is going. And, if you don't jump on board, then you're going to get left behind. And, those schools and those teams that are taking advantage of that are, the industry leaders in some of the digital world. Ones that aren't, like I said before, if you don't get involved in that, you're going to get kind of left behind. And, like you said before, it all comes down to revenue. So, anything you can do to maximize revenue, maximize your exposure for people that are going to like what you're putting out. If you don't do that, then, I'll kind of keep saying this, but you're going to get left behind because there are schools that are doing it and they're maximizing their exposure, maximizing their revenue out because of this digital world. And, you got to get on board.
You see these memes all the time and you laugh when they say like, hey, I just thought about this product and then Facebook served me an ad on that product. Like, how did they get inside my head? And it's funny, you laugh, right? But then you think about it and you're like, wait, how did they get inside my head? So there's definitely this like this yin and yang of it where you're like, it's really cool how I can get served up exactly what I'm interested in. But at the same light, there's this weird kind of vibe that you get out of it. But you're right. That's the direction things are heading and you can't let it pass you by. So we'll finish up with this. As you look back at your college career and getting started in the sports industry and making your impact that you've made so far, what's kind of the best piece of advice you would give someone who's currently in school, who aspires to work in the industry like you someday soon?
I would say a couple things. The first being just kind of get involved early. You don't have to be involved in any specific sports related kind of organization on campus. Get involved in different things because leadership is definitely something that's important in this industry. So anytime you can be in an organization on campus, and kind of get that, involvement and leadership skills, is important. And then involved in internships as well. But I would also say do a wide variety of internships because, another kind of kudos to the sport management program at Temple was, we were forced to get 7 different experiences worth 120 hours of industry-related experience. So I did 7 different things, all the way from working in a gym to working in our alumni office that kind of give you a large variety of, what it is that you can do with a sport management or just kind of, being interested in this kind of field. There's so much you can do with it. So, just get involved with whatever you can to learn everything that you can. And then the last piece, network now and network often, network as much as you can because, it's all at the end of the day, like it's all about who you know. And to be honest with you, sometimes I wish it wasn't like that. I actually remember on my interview for the job at Maryland, I got a question of what is something that you wish you could change about the industry. And that was my answer. I said, you know, I wish it wasn't about all who you know, because at the time I was like, there's no way I'm getting this position. Right. You know, Maryland was coming off a marketing team of the year. So like they were literally the top marketing department in college athletics. And I was working at Northeastern. So I was like, there's no way I'm getting this position. And that's what I said, because you know, I didn't know anybody that worked there. And I don't know if that had anything to do with, you know, them liking me and then giving me the next level interview or not. But, you know, that's the bottom line. It is all about who you know. And so build those connections now. And, you know, if there's people in your classes and you are a sport management major, you know, those are the people that you're going to go through your career with. So, you got to know them and, you got to keep connected with them, because you never know who you're going to meet down the line.
Evan, that's great advice. I cannot thank you enough for coming on the show and sharing a little bit more about your story and what you've picked up along the way. Go Deeks. That's all I can say about that. I mean, congratulations on all your success, and thanks again for coming on.
No, thank you very much. This is a great opportunity for myself, and I really appreciate you having me. It's been a great opportunity, so thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks again to Evan Feinstein from Wake Forest. What a great experience to be just a few years into your career in college athletics, but already having worked for two Power 5 conference schools. One of my favorite parts was when Evan talked about the moment that convinced him a career in sports was what he needed. Not just wanted, needed. We all have that moment where our career ambitions come into focus. It was pretty cool to hear Evan talk about that Villanova-Temple football game, just opening his eyes to the potential of creating an environment around sports events. Very cool. Thanks again to Evan. Coming up next week, Super Agent Lee Steinberg. For real, Lee Steinberg, I'm not kidding, is coming on the show. And it is an awesome interview. So make sure you pay attention to that one. And I will talk to you all later.